late. Amen. But I do want to obey the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. This has been on me ever since Brother Epley has asked me to come. This has been on me, and I want to obey the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. But I need your help. Anybody going to help me tonight? Amen. I promise you, if you was up here, I'd help you. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, you want to turn with me to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, very familiar scriptures, reading from verse 2. Everybody say, preach. The Bible said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They're going to turn their ears from the truth and they're going to turn unto fables. Now, if you would turn with me to 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter, and the 11th verse, I'm going to read one scripture. And Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, made him horns of iron. And he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. He made him horns of iron. I want to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes from this thought that the Lord laid on my heart. And that is the iron horns of sensationalism. The iron horns of sensationalism. Would somebody help me pray right now and ask the Lord some way to help me in Jesus' name. God, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing tonight. Thank you for your presence. I've got confidence that you're going to help me tonight, Jesus. Oh, God, I'm asking you to move in this place. I'm asking you to break the yoke in this house tonight, God. Let your mighty spirit come down in a mighty way and feed your people tonight. Strengthen this congregation in Jesus' name. God bless you. You can be seated. Hallelujah. I want to start out tonight by saying how thankful I am to be part of this apostolic truth. Brother, it means something to have a revelation of truth in the hour that we're living in. Amen. The Bible said you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Brother, I was 16 years old when I met truth. And the first time God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. And then I sat under a good pastor that put this Word of God in my heart. And I thank God for the Word of God. Amen. Amen. I love what's written in this old black book, don't you? I believe with all my heart everything I need is within the pages of this book. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I use commentary. But I'm going to tell you, I can make it without commentary, but I can't make it without this. This is the inspired Word of God. And oh, I thank God for it tonight. And I want to be careful the way I handle it. I want to be careful the way I present it. Amen. I want to make sure that I'm perceiving this right. I want to make sure that I'm understanding it right. Amen. Does anybody feel like that tonight? You want a greater understanding and revelation of the Word of the Lord? I thought about in Matthew chapter 13, the disciples, they asked Jesus a question. They asked him, they said, Lord, why is it we've noticed that when you're speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders, that you are speaking in parables? You're speaking in parables. And Jesus, I won't take a lot of time explaining it, but he tells them that I'm speaking in parables because I have truth hid in the midst of these parables. He says in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 13, he said, this people's heart is waxed gross. It's become calloused because of their tradition, because of their false doctrines. Amen. Because of the Pharisee spirit that they possess. Their heart has become calloused, and they have eyes, but they've closed them. They have ears, but their ears, the Bible said, is dull of hearing. So I have hid truth in the midst of these parables. In Luke chapter 11, verse 10, the Bible said, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. So truth tonight is hid to those that are calloused and hard-hearted and are not open-minded. But thank God it is revealed to the askers and the seekers and the knockers and those that are hungry. Amen. The Bible said they shall be filled. Well, I don't know about you tonight, but I'm hungry for God's Word, aren't you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I thought tonight we are so blessed to have 5 physical senses. And we have sight and hearing and smelling and taste and touch. And these senses, they make us aware to the things we come in contact with in life. They give us a perception of the things that are around us and the things we behold and handle. Can you imagine living life without your 5 senses? Can you imagine living life without your sight or your hearing or smelling or touching or, amen, or your taste? Thought about a few years ago there in the church at Guy. God blessed us. A little lady there, we didn't even know she was in the area. And she had got the Holy Ghost years ago at a black church in Little Rock. And they moved her to the country and all of her family died off. And she is there by herself. Her name was Sister Johnson. And Sister Johnson, when she was 32 years old, she had a problem with her optic nerve and she lost her eyesight completely. And this lady by herself, lived by herself, no family around. She cleaned her house. She cooked her meals. It seemed like when she lost her sight that God blessed her other senses where she could make it. And I thought about this lady when she come to our church. She was almost 80 years old. She came several years before she died. And I thought about this precious soul. She was so witty and so fun to be around. And brother, she didn't want you feeling sorry for her about her blindness. When she come to church, she loved the truth, brother. She loved the work of God. But I thought Sister Johnson, she knew everybody in our church, and she knew them by the sound of their voice. She knew them by their handshake, by the feel of their handshake. I thought about it, been several times some of the ladies that get offended at Sister Johnson. Sister Johnson, she'd hug them, squeeze them real hard. She was just strong as any man, you know. But from time to time, she would make her ladies mad because she'd hug them and she'd notice they gained a little weight. She'd say, well, you're getting fat as a pig. And she's kind of loud, and we all had a time with Sister Johnson, and I remember one time I liked to pick with her, liked to have fun with her, and I came up to her and I said, Sister Johnson, this is Brother Smith. And she knew, she didn't recognize that voice. She said, "Who is this?" I said, "This is Brother Smith." And she said, "Well, shake hands with me, Brother Smith." And so I stuck my hand out and shook hands with her. She said, "Pastor," she said, "I know your little short, fat hand from anybody." Hallelujah. Do you know when God filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, He gave you some spiritual senses that are very, very important to your walk with God. He gave you spiritual eyesight. Amen. The ability to see and understand the spiritual kingdom of God. This is a spiritual kingdom. The carnal man cannot understand this. You've got to have spiritual eyesight to see this kingdom. He gives us spiritual hearing, that through our physical ears we hear instructions from the Word of God. And then faith connects our physical hearing with that spiritual hearing, and then we become doers of the Word of God. Got any doers in the place tonight? Amen. Amen. We have the ability to touch God. Aren't you glad that you can touch God? That you can feel the presence of God. I don't know about you. I don't know if I'd want to come to church if I couldn't feel Him. But the grace of God many times bears witness with our conscience. And there again, by faith, we feel good, and then sometimes we even feel grieved when the Holy Ghost is talking to us. Why? Because we can feel Him. The Scripture says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." By faith, we exercise new works in God. Amen. I said, by faith, we exercise new works in God. And we taste, or we experience, the reward of doing His will. I want to tell you tonight, it's just easier to live for God if all your senses are working right. It's easier to walk with God if you're walking in the Spirit and your spiritual eyesight is working and your hearing is working. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. About 5 years ago, I got some bad news, and of course you can tell by looking, hey man, I'm overweight, and I found out that I was a diabetic about 5 years ago. Thank God I'm not on insulin yet. I'm trying to watch it and take care of it, but for 5 years I've had diabetes. And diabetics, they develop a condition that is called neuropathy. It is a disease that damages the nerve endings many times in your feet and in your hands. I've noticed as late, you know, when I first become a diabetic, they give me this little lancet, and every morning I have to get up and I have to check my blood sugar. Well, man, the first few times, sticking my fingers, it wasn't comfortable at all. I mean, I'd switch fingers and switch hands, and because I didn't like that needle piercing my fingers. But I have noticed, Brother Epley, over the last 5 years, that neuropathy has kind of kicked in, and I can't even hardly feel that needle going into my fingers anymore. My fingers have kind of become numb to that needle. We had a good friend. He's passed on now. His name was Brother Harold, and he was from our home church, and Brother Harold, he loved to camp, and he was a bad, bad diabetic, was not in good health at all, but he loved to go camping, and that was one of his highlights in his elderly years. He'd go camping, and he'd build a fire, and he'd sit by that fire. It was one fall night, I think it was, that he was sitting by that fire, just simply fellowshipping. And he kept moving closer to the fire, and he had his feet crossed and was warming his feet by the fire. But what he did not know is he could not feel how hot the fire was getting. And it literally, it melted his shoes. His shoes started smoking and it burned the bottom of his feet. And the outcome was is they had to amputate one of Brother Harold's feet. Why? Because he had neuropathy. His feet were numb. You know, I've noticed in the last few years living for God, I've seen a lot of changes come to this world. I've seen a lot of changes come to Pentecost. I've seen people that were once on fire for God, and I look at them tonight, amen, and it seems like their spiritual senses have become numb, and they can't feel what they used to feel. It's like their spiritual perception has been damaged some way. Oh, come on, lift up your hands and love the Lord together right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to tell you, if you've ever needed spiritual perception in this world, you need it right now. Amen, amen, amen. Isaiah, the 5th chapter and the 20th verse, the Bible said, "Woe unto them that call good evil, and that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." I want to tell you something tonight. It's sad when people become numb to the truth that they've always loved. It's sad when people become numb, amen, and they can't seem to discern right and wrong like they used to could discern. It's sad when they can't see whether it's sin or whether it's righteousness. I want to tell you tonight, carnality will damage your spiritual senses. It'll numb your spiritual senses. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. It'll affect your spiritual eyesight. It'll affect you when you're sitting on the pew and this man of God gets his Bible on a Wednesday night or Tuesday night and he begins to preach to you. Amen. Carnality will damage your hearing where it'll become dull. You can't hear like you used to hear. As God gave me this message, I began to pray and I began to search and ask God. I just, Brother Epley, I tried to get away from it. And I'd get up early in the morning, I'd go into my living room and pray, and God would just bring this back on me. And He wouldn't let me away from it. And I began to pray and I said, "Okay, God, show me. Show me the things that has caused this damage. Show me the things that is numbing apostolic people that once loved God." Now let me tell you tonight, everybody's not numb. Amen. Everybody don't have spiritual neuropathy. Amen. Some people are walking in the Spirit and they're keeping their senses sharpened. But I'm going to tell you, there's those that I worry about tonight, amen, that have become numb, that their ear is dull of hearing, their eyes, they can't see like they used to see. And I began to pray, and I thought, you know, one thing, there's a combination of things that I feel like have brought this on, and I feel like our prosperity has contributed a whole lot to the spiritual neuropathy. Amen. I'm telling you, we're a people that really have need of nothing. We've been blessed of God. Amen. Most of us have money in the bank. Amen. Most of us are blessed with a nice house to live in. A nice car to drive. Amen. I'm telling you, somebody said, "Why don't we have healings like we used to?" I'll tell you why. Because we just go to the medicine cabinet and get a pill and take it. I'm just being transparent to you. I'm telling you, a lot of times we've got these substitutes. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not preaching against medicine tonight. But I'm telling you, sometimes I think we'd be better off to wait on the medicine and call for the elders of the church and see if we can get the job done in the Spirit first. I know technology has contributed a lot to this spiritual numbness. Amen, amen. It's contributed a whole lot through the carnal traps of the internet. Amen, through Hollywood. Amen, through the dangers of social media. Amen, through all of these things, I feel like that it has majorly contributed to it. But there are two things that I feel like God has laid on my heart for this service tonight and this time, amen, that we're living in right now. I know all of these things have contributed, and they will continue to contribute unless you get the victory over carnality. But there are two things, and the number one thing that I believe has caused people just to become numb in churches, and that is the lack or the decline of sound doctrine in the pulpit. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I thank God for sound doctrine. Well, glory. Glory. The second thing that I feel like is hurting us, I feel like that it is hurting people's spiritual perception, and that is the rise of sensationalism in the pulpit. Oh God, help me tonight to obey the Holy Ghost. Amen. If there's ever a time that we need sound doctrine in our pulpits, it's in the hour that we're living in right now. Sound doctrine is still the antidote to a damaged perception. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, the 11th verse, the Bible said, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? Some people just choke on strong meat. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need some strong meat. Amen. I need something that'll strengthen me. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm really not. But I was listening to a message the other night and at a certain meeting. And man, I was excited about, listen, I was needing something from God. And I thought maybe I can get something from the Lord. And I sat in my living room and I listened to this message on the radio. And I sat for 45 minutes or an hour. And I listened. And I thought, God, He said a lot. Somebody called me. Brother McKillop called me, a friend of mine. He said, "Brother Blakely," he said, "what did you feel? Were you listening to that message?" I said, "I was." He said, "How do you feel?" I said, "Well, Brother McKillop, I'm not trying to be critical, but I feel like that I needed a ribeye steak, and I got a glass of skim milk." Amen. Brother, I'm going to tell you, we don't need somebody to come in and just hype us up and build us up emotionally. We need somebody to come in and give us this true Word of God. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Notice what the Scripture says. It said, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." I want to tell you something tonight. If you're having trouble knowing what sin is, amen, if you'll find a preacher like Brother Epley or Brother Alviar or these good brothers here that'll get in the pulpit and name sin and define sin, amen, you won't have any trouble defining sin when you get out in the world by yourself. Because you know what the Word of God will do? It will sharpen your senses. Well, you know what we need? We need preachers that have quit trying to impress people and preach to people. We need people that have quit trying to come up with these sensational messages and just get the book out like Brother James Gross used to do when I was a young man. Well, I remember him coming. He don't know me very well, but I've known him for years because I've sat in many Bible studies when he'd just take that Bible and slowly go through it and feed you the Word of God. You know what? That kind of teaching will keep you. That kind of teaching will help you. That kind of teaching will strengthen you. That kind of teaching will strengthen your senses. Well, hallelujah. Amen. 1937 in New London, Texas. Another little sister in my church shared this story with me. She's gone on to meet the Lord, Sister DeMoss. It was at a local school in New London, Texas. Toward the end of the day, students and faculty, they began to complain of headaches and nausea. 13 minutes before school let out, a shop teacher flipped on a switch to a power tool, and it caused a spark that blew up that entire school. They did not know it, but there was a natural gas leak, and it blew that school to bits. Around 300 people died from that explosion. It was a horrible, horrible tragedy in the state of Texas. This elderly sister, she related. She said, "Brother Blakely, I should have been at school that day, but my mother was sick. And my dad asked me, she was 16 years old, asked me to stay home with my sick mother." She said, "About 3:45, we heard the ambulances come by our little country road and from other towns, and policemen from other towns. We knew something was wrong, and then they contacted them that the school had been blown up. There were very few survivors, and so her and her father, she had to go with her father, and they went to New London, Texas." And she said, "Oh, it was horrible." She said, "Every business became a temporary mortuary." She said, "We had to go to business, and we had to lift up sheets and look for my siblings." She said, "And we ended up finding all three of my siblings dead." Amen. You're talking about a horrible, horrible tragedy. Amen. To lose three siblings in an explosion like that. But the point that I want to make tonight is, it was that incident. It was that tragedy that caused the federal government. They said, "We've got to do something about this. This absolutely can't happen again." And so they passed a law to place a chemical in the midst of natural gas called mercaptan, which has the smell of rotten eggs. And since then, I read an article the other day, there has been thousands and thousands of people all over the world that have been saved by the smell, the rotten egg smell of mercaptan. Well, as I was preparing for this message, I thought of this story, and so I got on the internet and I looked, and I read a couple of articles that shocked me. And can you imagine that people are complaining? They're complaining about the smell of mercaptan. They want the rotten egg smell out of their house. They want something a little more neutral, a little more spicy or fruit flavored, I guess you'd say. And so these companies are working, trying to find a new smell for natural gas. You know, I began to think about that, and something just hit me wrong. I thought, my Lord, Sister DeMoss would have given anything if her siblings could just got a little whiff of that mercaptan. Well, sometimes, you know, we come to church and we get so finicky and we get so picky, and the man of God gets in the pulpit and he begins to bare his heart. He gives us straight from heaven what the Lord has spoke to him. And if we're not careful, brother, we can turn our nose up and say, you know, man, he just presented a little different. If he just had a nicer way to present it, I might could take it. But he just, what difference does it make what kind of presentation is given, as long as it saves? As long as it'll save your family. As long as it'll put your marriage back together. Man, I know it's important. Amen. There is a way, and I try hard to present it right. But you know what? Sometimes when the anointing of God gets on you, you just got to preach. You just got to preach, and you just got to warn. Oh, God, don't take the warning out of natural gas. You got a problem with it, go buy an electric range. Oh, if you've got problem with straight preaching, there's a lot of preachers with engineers that'll take you in. But you've got something valuable when you've got a man of God that'll preach to you. And he'll preach sound doctrine. Amen, amen, amen. Let me tell you something. I love shouting. You come to God, we believe in shouting. Sometimes we got to calm them down and make them sit down so the preacher can preach. But you know what? From time to time, I like to just shut everything down and get the Bible stand and myself or my son to get out, and we'll just teach a good old-fashioned Bible study on the Godhead or Jesus' name baptism or communion, why communion is necessary. Well, hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes it's all right to pull down the emotions and just get the Word of God out and just teach the pure, solid Word of God. Some people feel like they hadn't had a move of God unless they're running and shouting and leaping and Boy, I feel a little kickback right now, but that's all right. Amen. Don't you go away here and say, Brother Blakely, you come and see our church, you'll see we believe it. But I'm going to tell you, we still have got to have this Word of God. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and let's love Him right now. My, 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 my. Hallelujah. 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 Brother, I was listening to a message one time, and I heard a young man, he was correcting preachers. And brother, I'm telling you, it rubbed me the wrong way. I'm sorry. But he was preaching, and he was slapping at holiness. And he made the statement, he said, I'm going to tell you preachers something. He said, if you'd get a move of God in your church, you wouldn't be so focused on those short dresses. You wouldn't be having such problems with that cut hair. And I listened to that, and I thought, he must be pastoring different type people than I'm pastoring. Yeah. He must be pastoring a different caliber of people. I had this lady to come, and bless her heart, we tried to help her. And she come a little while, and she struggled with my standards of our church. She struggled. But time and time again, she'd come and ask me, why do we do this? Why do we do that? She just couldn't get it. She didn't have no spiritual perception. And so one night, she walks in, middle of service, Brother Epley, and she's got a dress 4 inches up above her knee.
And she walks in and she prances down right on the second pew and crosses her arms like, I dare you.
Thank God we didn't have any visitors that night. Amen. You know what I did? I didn't get ugly. But I prayed. I said, God, what do you want me to do?
And that scripture come to my mind, be instant, in season,
and out of season.
And I figured it was in season.
And so I preached her a 5-minute Bible lesson on why the women wear their dresses moderately covering their knee when they sit down. And I told her real nicely, don't ever come back to this church dressed like that again. Somebody said, Brother Blakely, you can't do that. You'll run them off. I want to tell you something. You better do it, or it'll take over your church. There'll be a spirit to come in there and sit down. You know what was happening? I had people looking and watching me. You know what? She kept coming a year after that. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what. You know, we can get this. I'm going to tell you, I was a home mission pastor. I know what it's like to have to wait and let people grow. We first started the church, you ought to thought we was charismatic. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes you just got to rear back and preach. A spirit will confront you. I thought about, man, this ain't in my notes, but I feel this. I thought we were in Guy and we had a group coming, and man, I was just at the point, we'd been there a year, and I was trying to get the women not to wear pants and to put on dresses. Hey, man, it takes a while. And so finally, I had all the ladies wearing dresses, I thought. And I was in church one night, and I was praying, and my wife was playing the keyboard, and I was leading song service. We didn't have very many people, about 20 people or so. And all of a sudden, the Lord gives me a vision. And I see 5 people in my church meeting at a house trying to decide how they're going to get rid of me. And one of them says, in this, I'm seeing this. One of them says, I think he's just too young to pastor a church. And so, I just fell flat down on the platform, started crying, God, what do you want me to do? He said, get up and tell them what you saw. And so I just done what the Lord said, and I got up and I told him, I said, let me tell you something. The Lord just gave me a vision. I said, there's some of you that met down at a house today, and this is what you said, and I can come put my finger on your nose. And brother, one sister got up and started crying and run to the altar. And the rest of them, that was their last service. But you know what I told them before they left? I said, listen to me. I've been very patient. I said, but it's time for you to get a little bit of meat. It's time for you to know that this is an apostolic church. And I took a stand and some left. But you know what happened, Brother Lawhorn? That next service, God sent me 10 brand new people to replace them. Let me tell you something. Sound doctrine works. You home mission preachers, listen to me. You can build a church by just preaching sound, solid doctrine. You don't have to come up with something new. You don't have to come up with something sensational. Just get your Bible out. Go to the Lord in prayer. Go on a little fast. Get on your face before God. Well, hallelujah. Let me go back. This preacher, he was preaching. Amen. And he made a statement about preachers that preach holiness. You're just mean-spirited. Tell you something. Holiness preaching ain't mean spirited. Holiness preaching's right. Separation from this world is right.
giving people meat when you get in the pulpit is right. I know we've got to be careful. I know we've got to be wise. But I'm going to tell you, you've got to give them the Word of God. You can't give them milk every service and expect them to grow in God. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Well, there's a pressure that's being put on preachers in this hour that says, keep it positive. Don't say nothing negative. Don't do nothing controversial. Don't get out of the way of people's living. Come on, build us up. Brother, I'm going to tell you what. You can come in here tonight and I can build you up and hype you up. And you know what? You'll leave and tomorrow you'll wake up and you'll be so empty. Hallelujah. Let me finish up. 2 Timothy 4:3. Let me read my text again. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That has changed churches. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know what fable means? It means a tale. Typically a supernatural one, incorporating elements of myth and legend. The Bible said they're going to turn their ears away from the truth. And they're going to find somebody that'll teach them a myth. They're going to find them a sensational preacher. They're going to find somebody that'll just really pick them up high. Let me give you the definition of sensationalism. It is the use of exciting stories or language at the expense of accuracy in order to provoke interest and excitement. Brother, when I first started preaching, I was evangelizing and somebody handed me a tape and said, listen to this message. And the man was preaching, and many of you be familiar with it, but he got to preaching about a 5-foot-tall owl that flew faster than jet airplanes and as high as jet airplanes. And I listened to that as a young preacher. I thought, man, this man is known all over Pentecost. Preachers are using him everywhere. And in something in my spirit, I couldn't help it. I didn't believe it. And he's preaching it for truth. I like what Paul said. He said, in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let me tell you what the sensational preacher will do. He'll add to and take away from the Word of God just to validate a position. Well, glory. Sensationalism will mix threads of false doctrine with portions of truth just to push what he's trying to insert into a congregation. Now, I'm going to tell you, I may cross theories with everybody here tonight. I hope I don't, but I'm going to say it regardless. But some of this stuff that I'm hearing springing up in apostolic churches, it grieves me. It troubles me. And I hear all of these doctrines. I picked up a book the other day and read where a man was trying to say that angels are having relationship with women in the Bible. I'm going to tell you right now, that's false doctrine. Claiming that the sons of God, well, hallelujah, claiming that the sons of God were fallen angels. I won't tell you, that's heresy. If they'll read their Bible, if they'll quit letting Josephus and Jewish rabbis lead them and get their head in this book, Genesis, the 5th chapter, will tell them who the sons of God are. Well, hallelujah. Those threads of false doctrine, they just keep growing. See, the sensationalist, he has to figure out something bigger to preach the next time. Well, hallelujah. While I'm on it, I might as well cover it all. Now, please don't get mad at me, but if you get mad at me, I'm still going to say it. That Nephilim doctrine is false doctrine. Thank you, you five that clapped your hands. I said that Nephilim doctrine is false doctrine and heresy. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Where's Brother Young? You still want me to come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said it's false doctrine. I know I'm not a big voice at Pentecost, but what little voice I've got, I'm going to use it to preach against false doctrine. You better be careful, Brother Blakely. There's popular guys in Pentecost that believes this. If it's false doctrine, it's false doctrine. Amen. Is this enough or is this not enough? Do we have to go to commentary to find the full meaning of Scripture? Is this inspired by God or not? Well, hallelujah. Now, y'all don't charge Brother Epley with what I'm preaching tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I don't believe that technology was greater before the flood than it is tonight. Ignorant. Well, glory. You know what? I knew when I mentioned this stuff, it was going to get tight. But you know what? Somebody needs to be saying something. There are men creeping in, and they are bringing damnable heresies. A few years ago, I had a man scheduled to preach for me, Brother Riggins. Didn't know him. I met him through a friend. A friend recommended him. And he called me the weekend he was supposed to come. He calls me on Saturday, and he's supposed to be there on Sunday. And he begins to tell me, he said, Brother Blakely, I don't know what your view on the end time is. He said, but I want you to know what my position is. I'm a preterist. I said, a what? I didn't even know what it was back then. I'm a preterist. He said, I believe that the Lord has already come. He said, I believe the tribulation period has already taken place. He said, I believe the devil is bound. Brother, when he said that, I thought, brother, you just need to come to Guy, Arkansas if you believe the devil is bound. I can show you some proof. And I told him, I said, wait a minute. Run that by me again. And he run. I said, wait a minute, brother. I said, you're telling me you believe the coming of the Lord has already come? I said, then you don't believe in communion. You believe that the tribulation has already taken place? He said, well, Brother Blake, let's don't let it put a wedge. I said, it ain't going to put a wedge, but you're not coming to God. That's false doctrine. That's heresy. That attacks the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, help us, help us, help us. My. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. I'm not going to cover no more of that. I've offended some already, but that's okay. Let me move on maybe to heal up before this service is over. Hallelujah. UFOs are not the greatest threat to the church. We don't need some uninspired, so-called lost book of the Bible.
I believe this is complete. I believe there's enough right here to save me, Brother Lawhorn. I believe there's enough right here to set you free, to make you heaven bound. Let me close. Jehoshaphat, he was the king of Judah. The Bible said that the Lord was with him, and he was a God-fearing man. But no doubt, because his son had married Ahab's daughter, he felt that responsibility, that obligation to be an ally to Israel and Ahab. The Bible said that Ahab, he wanted to overtake Ramoth-Gilead. And Jehoshaphat, he agreed to help Ahab, agreed to fight with him and be his ally. But the Bible said that Jehoshaphat, he wanted to inquire of the Lord. He had a little bit of spiritual perception. And he says, I don't want to do this alone. I want God with us. Are there any prophets? And Ahab says, sure, I've got Zedekiah, and I've got 400 hired. I can get them up here. They'll prophesy to us. And so those 400 prophets, false prophets, came before Jehoshaphat, and they came before Ahab. And they begin to prophesy. Go up! The Lord is with thee. Go up! You're going to have the victory. Go up! God's hand is on you. Amen. And something in the spirit of Jehoshaphat, after 400 of them saying, go up, go up, something didn't feel right. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. The reason you need spiritual perception, church, is because sometimes Brother Epley may not even know when a man's got off track. Sometimes Brother Blakely may not know when a man's got off track, and they may slip in among us. There needs to be something working in your spiritual senses that you feel grieved by the Holy Ghost when a man's not right. Jehoshaphat said, hey, is there not another prophet of God? Yeah, there's one more. And I hate his guts, because he don't never preach nothing positive. Every time they put him on the lineup, amen, Brother Alvear, he's preaching about holiness. Yeah. And preaching about the importance of holding on to holiness. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he don't say nothing good about me. No, Jehoshaphat said, let's get him anyway. Don't say that. Get him on up here. Let's hear what he's got to say. So the Bible says that I believe that, this is just me, but I believe that Zedekiah, he had to do something quick, brother. They'd already been prophesying. And Ahab had sent after this old negative prophet. So Zedekiah said, I've got to come up with something sensational. And so the Bible says that he went and he made Ahab horns of iron. Commentary says that it was like a helmet with iron spikes on it. I don't know. Bible don't say so. I don't know. But he took those iron horns and he brought them before Ahab and Jehoshaphat. And he said, with these. Now the horns in the Bible, they represented power and strength. He took a portion of truth to push his false prophecy. And you know what? It's not recorded where Jehoshaphat ever said another word. Evidently, the iron horns of sensationalism convinced Jehoshaphat to go up and fight. The servant goes and gets Micaiah. And he said, hey, Micaiah,
all 400 prophets have agreed. They're in unity. Would you please just say what they're saying? Don't go and say anything controversial. Micaiah said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do whatever. I'll say whatever God puts in my mouth. Do you know what? We need men of God that when they get in the pulpit, that they'll say whatever God puts in their mouth. And we need saints of God that'll love it, that'll wrap their arms around it. Hallelujah. 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 Stand together. My, 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 my. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Titus 2:1 says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that you're hungry for sound doctrine, that you thank God for a preacher that'll get in the pulpit and preach to you sound doctrine. He'll preach to you meat, something that you can get a hold of and chew and say, hey, this is helping me to grow. It may not be easy to digest, but it's not a sensational message that I need. Amen. But it's just that good old sound doctrine. Lift up your hand right now as Brother Effley comes. Come on, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Preacher, preach to me. Preacher, preach to me. On Preacher.